Going through this series to talk about the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is a book that talks about how we can how the people, especially the Israelites back then, how they were to have a relationship with God, and it relates to our lives today as well. And so we're going to continue looking at Deuteronomy, and our passage today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. And so if you have your Bibles at this time, would you open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. If you grabbed one of these Bibles from the back, you can open up your Bibles to page 150. And we're going to be sorry, is my mic on? All right. So are you guys able to hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. Great. Great. All right. So we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. All right? Yes, let's look at it. All right. This is the reading of God's Word. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it as holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Amen. All right. Well, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, and today we come to the fourth command. And maybe some of you guys remember, I mentioned in the past that the first four commands have to do with our relationship with God, and then the latter six commands have to do with our relationship with other people. But all of these commands are commands that we need to follow as a way of having a relationship with God. Now, today we're looking at the fourth command, where it talks about observing the Sabbath day. And I want to start off with a question. And the question is, how many of you feel like work never ends? How many of you guys feel like that? Maybe you could even raise your hand. How many of you guys feel like that? Yeah. Now, when we talk about work, you know, we could talk about our work, our jobs, but some of us, we can talk about the work that we have to do to take care of our children. Oh man, that work never ends, right? Or we could talk about taking care of our parents. We could talk about how we're part of some type of ministry. Maybe we're involved with church in some way, and we just feel like the work, whatever work it is, it just never ends. And maybe for some of you, you guys feel like you're in a rat race, and you're just like a rat in a cage, and maybe you're just spinning the wheel, and you just feel like you're going nowhere. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you guys feel like you haven't rested? How many of you guys feel like you've just been going and going, you haven't rested, and you just feel tired? How many of you guys feel like that? Okay, some of us. Okay, maybe for some of you guys, you feel like no matter how much you've taken a vacation, even when you go on a vacation, you feel like you need a vacation from your vacation. Maybe especially some of us that go on vacation with other people, or maybe some of us, we go on vacation with our children. We just feel like even when we're on vacation, we still have to put out so much that we feel like we're not able to rest. How many of you feel, now you don't have to raise your hand for this one, how many of you feel that your work has no value, no meaning? You don't have to raise your hand. Now, I just want to ask this question. What are you striving for? You know, as you work, as you're trying to rest, What is it that you're really striving after? Some of us, we feel this constant tiredness. And we think, you know, God, is this what life is supposed to be like? Is this how God intended life to be? Now today I want to share with all of you, that's not how God intended life to be. God intended for mankind to joyfully work and to find satisfaction in being involved in work. God intended for mankind to also find rest and peace and just to enjoy our lives. That's what God intended for us Now, this isn't what we face. This isn't what we experience. Rather, what we face is, and many of you guys maybe can relate with this. A lot of us, we face stress, tiredness, pressures from work, from our children, from our children's schools. We face all kinds of pressures from maybe even our spouses. And even when we try to make things better, even when we try to make things a little bit less pressure, even that idea of how we can have less stress becomes stressful. When we try to plan our vacation, it becomes stressful. When we try to think about how do we make things better for the next week so I won't have to stress, it just becomes stressful. Today we're going to look at a very important commandment, the fourth commandment, that actually takes it actually takes the most verses. It actually takes the most space out of all the Ten Commandments. It's a very important a commandment for us, and what it points to is that we need to have a proper understanding of work. Yes. We need to have a proper understanding of work, but also we need to have a proper understanding of rest. And so today's main idea is work and rest with Jesus. And I will briefly talk about work. That's not going to be the point of today's sermon, but I want to really focus on this idea of rest with Jesus. And the three points that we're going to go through are work and rest. The second is tired. And the third is final rest and work. Right. So once again, the main idea for today is work and rest with Jesus. And the three points are work and rest, tired, and final rest and work. All right. So why don't we dive into the first point, work and rest. As we look at our passage today, I want to just make a couple observations for you guys. And I'm going to have it on the screen for you so you guys could just see all the observations right there. First observation is that the Sabbath that's talked about here in this passage, in verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. All right. So when we talk about the Sabbath, what it's pointing to in the Old Testament during that time is the seventh day, which is Saturday. And so typically what they would do is they would start on a Friday night because their day started in the evening time and it would go to the next evening. So they would start on a Friday night to the next Saturday evening and they would celebrate the Sabbath in that way. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we can apply this passage a little bit differently where we're not celebrating the Sabbath, but rather we're celebrating the Lord's Day. And so what that means is that we celebrate on Sunday, and the reason why the change happened is because the Bible talks about how we find final rest, and we'll get to this later, but we find final rest through Jesus Christ, especially as we celebrate how he not only died for us, but how he rose again on the third day and how he conquered sin and death. And so because he rose again on the third day on Sunday, Christians, we celebrate the Lord's Day, and that's why we gather together on Sunday. And the command says to keep it holy. And when it says to keep it holy, it doesn't necessarily mean you come and you're like, oh, and you have to dress in robes and you have to wear white clothing and you have to be so like, make sure that everything is correct and you're not sinning. That's not what keeping it holy means. Keeping it holy means, basically, make it different and separate from the way that you live your lives the other 6 days. Set it apart as a different day where you are going to do something that you normally don't do the other 6 days. And what God calls us to do is to, on this day where we stop our work, perhaps for some people may understand it this way, where you stop from your normal way of having recreation, from your normal way, and you come on this day and you focus on the Lord and you find rest in the Lord. And so, even though in the Old Testament they talk about the Sabbath day being the seventh day, today we talk about it being on the first day, the Lord's Day, as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 13, it's really interesting. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Okay, so here there's this idea where you're supposed to be working. God gives you purpose in your life, and He wants you to work. And whatever kind of work you have, He wants you to work for His glory. God wants you to work. God created mankind to work. Even in the Garden of Eden, mankind was working. And so, you know, we think about work as such a tiring thing, and, you know, it's just, maybe some of us, we feel like it's meaningless and things like that, but God created us to have work and to continue to work. Now, it was because of sin that work has become that much more difficult. But in the Garden of Eden, it was an enjoyable thing. It was something where people found purpose. It was, well, I should say Adam and Eve. It was something that meant something. And that's how God wants us to work even today. As God's people, those of us that call ourselves Christians, as God's people, God wants us to work with purpose. And the purpose of work is that we would do whatever we're doing, whatever your job is, that we would do it for the glory of God. That means we do it diligently. That means we do it honestly. That means we do it in a way that, wow, the mic is really loud all of a sudden. I feel like I have to whisper now. That means that as we work, not only are we thinking about doing our best in our work, but we also work in a way that we give glory to God by showing other people that we are God's children. Through our actions and even through our words. We want to share with our coworkers and our bosses and our employees. We want to share with them about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so God calls us to work and to be diligent at it. But you're supposed to do that for 6 days. But on the seventh day, it says, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. You see, this Sabbath day, or for us, the Lord's Day, it's not supposed to be just a day where we just don't do anything. But it's a day that's set apart so that we can gather together and focus on the Lord together and to find rest in Him. Now, I just want to point out where it says remember and observe. In Exodus, it uses a different word. It says remember. Remember the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath. And remember how the Lord your God, He worked for 6 days during the time of creation. And on the seventh day, He rested. And so you shall also rest. But here in this passage, it's a little bit different. It says observe. Keep the Sabbath. It means make a choice. It doesn't mean just, you know, oh, it's the seventh day. Oh, I mean, it's Sunday, the first day of the week. Oh, okay. I should go to church. Oh, I don't know. I feel a little bit tired. Maybe I'll just rest today. Because God calls me to rest anyway. So I'll just sleep a few more hours. I'm sure it's okay. That's not what it's saying. It says keep the Sabbath. Make a choice. To gather with God's people and to focus on the Lord together. Make it a choice. Make sure you observe. And the reason that's given, it's a little bit different. It doesn't say here, because the Lord your God worked for 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. Rather, it says in verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. See, the reasons are a little bit different. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I just want to point out to you that there is this other reason that's given here. Now, the other thing here is that in verse 14 it says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And then it goes on and says, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or even the sojourner who is in your gates. And it says that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Rest is not the Sabbath day or the Lord's day is not just so that you can rest. When God created the Sabbath and God is telling the people during that time to rest and God calls us to come together on the Lord's day, it's not just so that you yourself can rest. There is this command here to help others rest. As long as it's in your ability, as long as you have the authority to be able to do this, as long as you have the ability, we're called to actually help others rest. We're called to help our family rest. We're called to help even those that are our employees, our slaves, those that are under us. We don't have slaves, of course, but we have employees, some of us. Those of us that have businesses, we're called to help our employees rest on this day. We're called to even, you know, the Bible is so animal friendly too. It says, let your donkey and your cows and your livestock, let them rest also. So whatever is under your authority, find some way to help others rest. Even the sojourner, even those that are the foreigners in the land, even those that are on the streets, help them to rest. Find ways to help people to rest. And then in Mark 2, Jesus talks about how, you know, of course you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath. And a lot of Pharisees were saying, Jesus doesn't rest. Jesus doesn't observe the Sabbath. Jesus is a false teacher. Jesus is a false prophet because he's not observing the Sabbath. And Jesus says, you know, you say, what's better, to let people starve or to actually work so that they can rest, so that they could be filled and rest? And so Jesus himself, he says in this passage, he says in Matthew chapter 12, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Okay, you see that we're supposed to be doing good. Even the priests, they were doing good by making these sacrifices happen. And what that means is that maybe for those of us that are trying to do good on the Sabbath, we're trying to reach out for those that are not able to find rest themselves. Maybe they're those that are starving. They don't have food. Or maybe they are caught up with something else and they're not able to rest. We're supposed to go out and reach out to people and do good and help other people rest. And what that may mean is that you yourself might not find rest. For the people that serve in the church on a Sunday, those that are ushering, those that are leading worship, even myself, we're working so that the rest of you can rest in the Lord. But then even in that work, we're called to find rest and to rest in the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. You know, as we you know, we're talking about this passage, and we're called to observe the Sabbath, observe the Lord's Day. We're supposed to gather together, and it's not just about us finding rest for ourselves, but it's about how we can encourage one another, how we can come together and grow together, how we can serve one another. And it might be the fact that I might not be resting on this day, or you might not be resting on this day, so that we can serve one another and we can help each other. And that's what we're called to do on this Sabbath day, so that we together can remember the Lord, so that we could together can observe this Sabbath. And for some of us, as we hear this, we're thinking, man, I'm tired. I'm supposed to work throughout the week. I've been putting in overtime. Not only am I putting in overtime, but I'm going home and I have to take care of my children, or I have to take care of my spouse, or I have to take care of my parents. And I'm just so tired, and I just want the weekend to be able to just rest. And Saturday, yeah, Saturday is nice, but then, man, I'm meeting with people, and maybe I'm hanging out with friends that I haven't met up with, and I just want some alone time, and just Sunday can be my day so that I can just finally rest. But then now here's the pastor saying you're supposed to come in and you're supposed to serve one another, and maybe you're not going to rest either, and you're supposed to serve the church and encourage each other. Ah, I'm just so tired. It's hard to continue to work. And perhaps even it's hard to rest. And the way that God calls us to rest on this Lord's Day, perhaps even trying to find rest. Some of you guys are so tired, you guys are falling asleep on me. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Rest. Rest. Even finding rest, sometimes it's difficult. Especially if you're a person that's serving. You have to serve the children's ministry. I'm just so thankful for those that are helping out with the children's ministry. They sacrifice a month of their time so that they could go downstairs and serve, and they're not in the service with us. Whether they're serving in the children's ministry or on the worship team or ushering, thank you, TBT, for volunteering to take up the ushering duties this week, this month. It's hard. And a lot of us, we feel tired. And perhaps trying to find rest is a daily struggle for you. You know, I had a friend many, many years ago who was striving. He was really trying to make things work out for his work. And he had one of these jobs where he would have to go and try to make himself known. He would have to put himself out there. And he would try and try and try again, but it was really difficult for him to really find a secure job. And so he was trying to make it with his line of work, but it just didn't work out, and he was just trying and trying, and because sometimes the work didn't work out, he was struggling with how is he going to make enough money, how is he going to make enough money to give back to his parents. He was thinking about how am I going to make enough money so that if I had enough money, then maybe some girl will like me. And he was struggling about, like, how am I going to ever get married, and even if I did get married, how would I even make enough money to care for children and for my family? And so what he would try to do is that, like, this line of work wasn't working out so well, so he would go and try to do some other small jobs and try to make ends meet. He would go work at a bowling alley, or he would go work at, do a project for a friend, but then he would still come back and try to make his career work, and he was just so tired all the time. Not only that, he was coming to church on Sundays, and he was working at church. I mean, he was serving, he was on the worship team, and he would be giving his all, and he would be trying to reach out to the youth students, and he was just doing all these things, and he just felt tired all the time. And some of you guys might relate to something like that. Through many, many years, I hung out with my friend, and we had many conversations. And things just didn't seem to change for him. He was really striving to live for God. He was really striving to make things work out for his family. He was really striving to get married. He was really striving to make his career work, but things just didn't seem like they were working out. So again, I had a lot of conversations with him, and he would share often about how difficult he felt life was. Again, I want to ask you now, what have you been striving for? What are you striving for? Perhaps you may hear God's call to you, God's voice to you, with Him saying to you, my child, what are you striving for? You know, as we think about this command about observing the Sabbath, we want to always go deeper with each command. We don't want to just keep it at the surface level. You know, the temptation is, if you just keep it at the surface level, it's like you're saying, you know, I'm able to keep the Sabbath. I've been coming every Sunday, and I feel like I'm doing a good job. Yes, I'm not a sinner. Yes, I'm keeping this command. And the temptation is to say, I'm good enough with this command that, and we would never say this, but the meaning behind it is, I don't need Jesus to save me with regard to this command. I don't need Jesus because I'm pretty good at keeping this command. Let's go a little bit deeper with what is this command talking about. If we go a little bit deeper, it's not just about are you able to come on Sundays or not. It's not just about are you serving in the church and looking out for other people and helping other people to find rest. It's not just about that. It's about your attitude toward God. Whether or not you trust God. Whether or not you trust Him to make a choice to stop working on Sundays. To stop doing what you would normally do the other 6 days. And trust that God is providing for you with your finances. Trust that God is providing for you, for your family. Trust that God is there for you. No matter what kind of struggle you have throughout the week, trusting that on this day, I'm not going to worry about this struggle that's going on in my life because I know that God is there for me. It's a day where we choose to say, I'm going to look at God and I'm going to help other people to look at God and remember that God is God Almighty and He is my God. God is taking care of me. God is there for me. It's a day that we choose, no matter how we feel, it's a day that we choose to come in and to hear the songs and to sing along with the songs and to hear the sermon and to say, yes, that's who my God is. And because of that, I can find rest today. Even as I'm serving and I'm helping people, because I'm looking to Jesus, I can find rest today. It's not just about whether or not you're coming in to this service on Sunday. It's about your heart and what's really going on in your heart. And perhaps you know these truths about God, that God is good, that God is taking care of you, that God is watching over your life. Perhaps you do believe in these things, but man, you still feel tired. And sometimes it's just hard to really trust in some of these things, in some of these truths. What's the reason? What is it that you're actually striving for? Perhaps we're still worried. We're still not getting enough sleep. Perhaps we're still thinking constantly about what we need to do for our work because, man, tomorrow's Monday. I got a plan for my work. I got a plan for my day, for my next week. And what we're really striving for, maybe, think about your own lives. Maybe what you're striving for is, I want to make sure that my family is going to be taken care of. I want to make sure that I'm going to succeed at my work so that people will recognize me, that I am good enough. I want to strive to make sure that my spouse is able to see that I'm good enough for my spouse. I want to make sure that I have enough so that I can retire and be okay. I want to make sure that my health is going to be okay and that I have enough money for my medicine and for all my medical bills. I want to strive today so that maybe tomorrow I can finally rest. For my friend, the more I talked with him, the more I found out that the reason why he was striving so much was because he himself really wanted to let his parents know that he was good enough. He wanted to let whoever his future spouse would be, he wanted to prove to himself and prove to the other person that he was good enough. And that's what he was striving for. Even though he was serving God and all these things, underneath all of that, there was this desire, this striving to say, I'm good enough. And perhaps in his heart, what he was really crying out for was, I'm so tired from all this striving. Who will save me from all this striving? This is where we come to our third point. Final rest and work. We know that God has called us to observe the Sabbath, to observe the Lord's Day, to find rest in Him. But how are we supposed to do all this? Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that no matter how much you feel like you're striving and working to try to make things right, there was one who was already striving for you. In John chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, in his defense, Jesus said to them, My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. You don't have to feel alone with all the work that you're doing. Jesus has been working. And Jesus was working even during the time when he was on earth. Jesus strove on your behalf. Jesus worked. He woke up early in the morning. He met with hundreds, even thousands of people. He fed people. He healed people. He worked to help people. He was there rescuing people from others. He was there rescuing people from themselves. He lost sleep. He didn't even eat at times. He shed tears. And in the end, he shed his blood. Jesus worked. He strove. He did these things so that you can find rest. And at the end of his life, he declared, It is finished. What was Jesus' work that he accomplished? What Jesus did through his life and his death and his resurrection, what Jesus did was that even though you were sinning against God, he made a way so that you can be reconciled back to God, so that you can have a relationship with God, so that all that you're striving after, wanting to have a better life, wanting to find comfort and rest, wanting to make sure that you have security in your life, wanting to find acceptance, so that you can find all of that in your relationship with the Father. God gives you rest. God gives you security. God is saying that you are His child. You are important to Him. You are recognized and acknowledged by Him. He accepts you fully as His child. God gives you everything that you're striving for, and it's because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For if Joshua had given them rest," talking about how the people were striving for rest, striving to obey the Sabbath, and they're striving to get into the promised land. "If Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." You see, observing the Sabbath is not just so that we would observe the Sabbath, but it points to something greater. It points to how Jesus Christ brings the Sabbath rest for us. Verse 10, it says, "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." And so when we come back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And so with that in mind, Titus chapter 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves." Not slaves to Egypt, but we were slaves to various passions and pleasures, the things that we strove for, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So if we could imagine at this time, God saying, "You see, Jesus? Then what are you striving for, my child?" Jesus has said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." All of you that are striving for all those things that you're striving for, Jesus says, "I will give you rest." We have a final rest that we look forward to. We can begin to experience that rest even in our lives today because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can experience that final rest. But in the meantime, let's continue to also work to help other people find rest in the Lord. By way of application, I just want to encourage all of us. You know, the way that we find rest over and over is by making a commitment to gather together on Sundays. Meeting online is great. And I know some of you guys are in other countries. If you are in other countries, I want to encourage you. Find a local church. Go and gather with the people. For those of you that are still here in Taiwan, let's gather together. Let's gather together and help each other find rest. Let's not just make it about me and God and me and making sure that I'm observing the Sabbath, but let's gather together and get to know each other and find out what each other's needs are and pray for one another and find out how we can help each other find rest. Gather to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Gather to do good. And to also dream together, to find out how we can bless this city and how we can help people find rest, even outside of our church. If you need to, come here and take a nap. And people will see that you need that kind of rest also. That's okay. We don't have to strive to show ourselves as holy and good Christians. We don't have to strive for all those things. Jesus Christ already paid for our sins. Just come and rest. And finally, rest in your hearts from all your strivings, because Jesus Christ has paid it all, and we can find rest in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You so much for Your wonderful truth that You do give us rest. And I pray, Lord, that at this time, as we remember You and what You have done for us on the cross, how You died, how You lived even, and how You rose again from the dead, Lord, I pray that we would find rest from all of the things that we strive after. May we find rest knowing that all that we strive after can be found actually in You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.